Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to be here in front of your people to minister your word. We ask, Lord God, that you use this vessel for your glory and your honor, Lord God. Speak to everyone's situation. Send a divine word, Lord God, a holy word, Lord God, a rhema word into the spirit of each and every individual is in here, Lord God. Allow me to speak with clarity. I need for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Father God. Bring back to my remembrance anything that I have forgotten. And Lord God, in Jesus' name, we ask and we pray and we thank you, Lord God, in advance. We praise you, Lord God, in advance for all that you're going to do. You are worthy. And we thank you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Y'all may be seated. Look at somebody and tell them, don't miss your appointment. Turn to Samuel, the 2 Samuel, the 20th chapter. And we're going to start at the 4th verse. Lady Margaret, you going to read for me? 4th verse or through the 13th verse. I've been a butcher up half these words up in here, so.
Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abisha, now shall Sheba the son of Bashir do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servant and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us. And there went out after him Joab, men, and the Sherethites, and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bashir. When they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on his girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the shelf thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the 5th rib, and shed out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bashir. And one of Joab's men stood by him and said, he that favoreth Joab, and he that is for David, let him go after Joab. And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the men saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss your appointment. Because if you do, God is going to remove you out of the way. Simple as that. Playing time is over in the body of Christ. There's been too many people just taking positions that God is sick and tired of them not performing. God gave me this word, and it's a harsh word. And I told God, I told Margaret, I said, you know, it's kind of difficult because I want to go on, but I can't go on. And I'm preaching the same word, and it's hard to keep preaching the same word and try to keep it fresh. It's almost like what Cameron said. He had sweet potatoes for a week, and he tried different ways to prepare sweet potatoes. But it's like I have to preach the same word because he's not allowing me to go on. So it's easier for me to preach different words that he give me, but when he have you preaching the same word, it's hard because I got to bring different flavors to the same word that you may be able to receive it. But it's very difficult being a pastor because a lot of us are not hearing what God's saying. And it's a shame because we feel the sense of entitlement that God owes us something. And let me go back to some of the words I don't preach. We only want God out of convenience. want God to work on our time. And we only want God to do things for us. We don't want to go the extra mile for God. And the church is dying because we have a bunch of youth that's inside church, and they can't comprehend why they're not being blessed. They can't get it through their thick skulls that God cannot bless mess. They can't get through their thick skulls unless you do something that God required for you to do. God is not obligated to bless you in return. We still want to be blessed in mess, and God would not put new wine into old wineskin. And instead of changing the wineskin, we mad with God because God won't pour wine all on us. Hallelujah. And it's horrible because you see churches not flourishing and getting stronger. And I'm not talking numbers, because I purposely did something to get me away from the number identity. I want strong, devoted members in the body of Christ that's living prosperously inside their soul and their being. I want folks that can speak to the devil and the devil tremble. You give me a church of 5 members that can say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I command thee to get behind me. And Satan see that there and shake inside the spiritual realm and pee all on itself because your voice has power. Can I have anybody, or do I have anybody, can speak into the authority that God has already given them, that Satan can tremble at your voice? We've been saying confession to try to get people to understand what God has already given them. I'm preaching the same message so you can understand that it's already been completed. I'm saying the same thing constantly over and over again so you can comprehend that you don't have to do nothing but be holy. Swim, Pastor, swim. I'm going to swim all by myself on this boat. There's nothing new underneath of the sun. All you got to do is what God told you to do. But the problem is you want God to do what you told God to do. I preached about an opium den. Said, look at somebody say, that's the same message. Same message. So he told me to go on, preach one last message, and tell people, do not miss your appointment. Time is a very unique thing that God has allowed us to endure inside this earth realm. But it's so confusing because here we're dealing with a God that doesn't deal with time. But he wants us to be on time. But he never comes on time because he don't know what time is. But he expects us to follow time. How can God expect us to do something that he's not required to do? Because time is beneath him. He's a God of eternity. The time doesn't even register inside him. But it registers in all of us. So God requires for us to be obedient to something that's on this earthly realm that he is not obedient to. How do I know that? He said, render unto Caesar, which is render unto God, which is obey them that had rule over you. But there's nobody that he had to obey that had rule over. So he requires us to do some things that he's not required to do. Hallelujah. But the great part about it, he's still sensitive to us in these things. And he tells us not for it benefits him, but it benefits us to get to the next level. I don't need to deal with time because I'm not in time. But you got to be in time in order to get through time to get to eternity. Y'all better pay attention. You better tell somebody on the road to stop distracting me, because I'm about ready to tell you, you're about to miss your appointment. So time is the magnitude or the measurement on which the events can be ordered from past, from present to future. But here it is, God has already ordered steps, ordered steps in our lives. There's already been placed into our lives times to be blessed and times not to be blessed. It's so important that he allowed it to be spoken in the 3rd chapter of Ecclesiastes so profoundly to let us understand that we cannot stop time from occurring. Hallelujah. In other words, there's a time to mourn and a time to weep, the time to be happy, the time to have joy. All of these things are going to occur in your life, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Hallelujah. But what's happening in the body of Christ, we are fighting so much against the time that's going to occur in our lives that we are missing our appointments. That's such a struggle in the body of Christ, of the Burger King mentality of having it our way. That we don't know that if we fall in the line of time with God, that everything will already done work itself out. So now we got folks that's in church that's stressed. They don't have no need to be stressed. We got folks that's walking around wondering and praying some missed prayers that can't get into God because there's no need to pray that prayer. If God done already worked it out on my behalf, if I get lined up with the order of time, I reap my blessing in due. Oh, y'all better help me understand this word. But forget the blessing part, because that's the only time some of us want to get excited. I may preach on that this scene. I haven't decided yet, but I want to talk about when we miss our appointment, what happens in our lives. Because some of y'all sitting in here want to come to church only at your convenience. Can I be pastor today? You can get mad at me. You don't have to come back next week. It doesn't matter to me. What I'll do, I'll take rows out until I get to the place where this church be filled up with folks that want to understand the truth about God. So if I have to move it back to here, I move it back to here and preach to who I got to preach to, because I'm tired of being in a facility where folks just want to use the ministry and God at their convenience. You think I want to get up every morning at 7 o'clock and come study and make sure I preach the word? But it is because God has ordered me to do it, and it's my time to do it, and I don't want to miss my appointments. It's always a struggle to make it on time. There's always traffic to make it on time. You may have to maneuver and go a different way, but if it's important to you, you're going to get to your appointment.
Yes, that's right.
But what's happening inside the body of Christ, we allow everything to distract us and to hinder us from making the appointment, and we're expecting people to wait on us. And if we don't get the job, then it's, you didn't hire me, you racist. You don't like me because I'm a woman. You didn't want to give me a job anyhow. Why did you set up an appointment for me? No, it's the same concept that's happening in the body of Christ. We making excuses for our flaws and shortcomings. Now the churches have a whole bunch of people that just want to come one time a month, one time every 2 months, get inside church and expect God to move on their behalf. So God, being this gracious, lovable God that he is, he moves knowing that they're not going to. And sometimes I'm beginning to understand, Sister Tawana, the worst thing we can have when we help people in the midst of their problems and troubles.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Is it God's appointed time for them to be brought out of their situation, or are we supposed to allow it to come to the fullness? Like somebody said,
that was another message.
So here we are in a story that's dealing with time, but also dealing with what I feel the biggest problem why we do not make our appointment, a spirit of slothfulness. Look at somebody say, that's another message he preached. Slothfulness is wanting to avoid activities because we don't want to exert the extra energy needed to accomplish it. Synonym, lazy. Unwilling to work or to use the energy that we have. Not a synonym, sluggish. Just a slow moving or in an inactive state of being. That spirit is destroying the body of Christ. That slothful or slothfulness that we have is destroying us. We come in here when word is being preached and start of going to bed the night before, we lay up here and sleep through our deliverance. We too tired, don't have enough energy to stand up and give God a praise. Hallelujah. When deliverance is knocking at our door, And because of that, we can't even comprehend how to grab blessings. Now we got preachers that's trying to help you by lying to you and telling you you don't have to do nothing to obtain it. I ain't never seen the blessed folks of God have to lay down on a sofa and God walk down their street, kick in the door because they're too lazy to open the door, go to the couch, open up their mouth and pour the blessing down their throat. But we are preaching now that that's all you have to do is be present. Then we wonder why we're going through so much, why our lives are not in order, why blessings are not flowing. Because God is at a place where he's sick and tired of preachers and individuals lying on him. So here we pick up in the story. And watch this, y'all. I got a little reading to do. I'm trying to make this quick because I'm trying to get you out early. We are at a place where there's some pit stops I want to stop in where the kingdom of Israel was split into two. There was Judah who recognized David as their king, and the other 10 tribes of Israel left David's regime because of this man named Absalom, who was the third son of the king, who killed his elder brother because his elder brother raped his sister Tamar. And the second one died, so he was in line to be king. I want y'all to watch this. I want y'all to watch this. He went to the city of Jerusalem because of his beauty and his countenance, his mannerism. He won the people's heart. He had long flowing locks and he dressed well, and everything outward of him was very pleasing to the people. It got to the place where when David told him to lay his foot down, he would go against what David said to please the people. It was so beautiful, I'm going somewhere, that 10 tribes followed him where only David had one. So I'm beginning to understand that everybody do not want the fullness of God. They want this showboat mentality that we can present of long flowing glory that's being presented, that you can receive that which you want from God and do not have to struggle to get a praise out. But those that know how to, those that are coming from the bloodline of Judah, a praise, understand that there's a deeper depth that God that they want. Not everybody gonna be with you because some folks only want what you can give them or the prettiness that you can show them. But if you're a real praise warrior, hallelujah, you wanna follow who God has set as your king. It bothered me because David really allowed this to get out of hand to the place where it divided his family. That God told me to deal with this so the ministry would not get out of hand, because this ministry is going to lay his foot down, that we want true people that want to stay where God told them to be. Hallelujah. Let me show you what's going to happen to some of y'all that just want that flashy, that pretty ministry that looks good on the outside but have no substance on the inside. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you about some of y'all just want to come to church for the glory that you can get and not for the work you got to put in. Hallelujah. Because to work, sometimes you got to run and hide. To be anointed and appointed, sometimes you got to leave folks behind. Sometimes it's just you all by yourself late at night with your praise on your lips. You ain't got everybody to want to follow you. Just all you need. Look at somebody say, all I need is one. Joab, you going with me? Yeah, I'm going with you, David. Because I know that God has called you to be my king. At the place where David got sick and tired of what was going on. He sent Joab out to fight against Absalom. And Absalom, captain of his army, Amasa. And Amasa went out to fight. And on the battlefield in the valley or the woods of Ephraim, something unique happened. why I learned not to talk about people. When the battle went on, Absalom ran on his mule. And in his running away after Joab was taken over and David and the army was progressing and getting stronger, his glory, his hair, got caught while he was on top of the mule in the thickness of the oak tree. Look at somebody and say, your glory will be your demise. What you have brushed and stroked and took care of and flaunted that you have such greatness in will be your demise. It got caught up and there was nobody around him but him. His mule left him and had him dangling from his hair. Joab's servant told Joab about it, and Joab went up to him and stuck a sword in him. Let me tell y'all, those that goes and want to be a part of ministry of Us Just Glory, they will run as a minute that the pastor is gone. Try to jock to who's going to be the next one. They all scattered. And here it was, David seeing a situation. Now, and I love David, I started destroying my own, my family, my blood. God has caused me to go through this that I may restore, hallelujah, that which he wants me to restore. And here it is. I'm at where I want to be at in my scripture reading, the dealing with the church of the day. That some folks can't understand what God wants from them. That at this place where David went and told his nephew, Amisha, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You are my brother's child. You are my flesh and blood. Because I want to put all of this behind me. Hallelujah. And I want us to be united again. Because you was caught up in something that you didn't quite comprehend. But now I need for you to understand that the substance of what God wants for you is inside of me. Hallelujah. So here, the deal I have for you. If you come back, you and your people, I'll make you captain over the whole army and even Judah. I elevate you in a position above Joab, who has been faithful to me. Some of us has messed up. Some of us are confused and done things wrong, and God wants to restore us. But because we have not forgotten about the past and the mistakes, we don't know how to receive the blessings. Some of us are not dealing with issues on the inside of us. That when it's time to be blessed, the issues that we have not dealt with gonna hinder our next move in God. We have two strikes against us, and God is only gonna allow one more to occur. Watch this. In the midst of David telling the people, Absalom, call all of your boys, all your leaders, all the soldiers, and tell them to meet me at the Jordan River. And I'm going to forget about everything. We're going to reunite this ministry. We're going to be strong in numbers, and we're going to fight against our real enemies, not against ourselves. Look at your neighbor next to you and say, it's time to reunite this movement. I'm not your enemy. In order for us to accomplish what God has set us to do, we have to come as unity. How precious is it that brothers dwell together in? But watch this. In the midst of everybody staggering in when David was there, there's always one that caused problems. Sheba, Saul's descendant, hit it up there, not really wanting to be back beneath the kingship of David. felt a need to rebel against what David was trying to do. So in the midst of all of them shaking David's hand in a covenant, here it is, Sheba, the troublemaker, blew a ram's horn. Look at somebody say, there's always one in a bunch. And you got to be careful of the loud one. I'm trying to help you out there. The loud one will get your attention and cause you to miss your appointment. The one that wants attention will grab your attention and cause you to miss your appointment. He blew his horn. Like teaching this thing. And in the midst of blowing his horn, he opened up and pronounced, down with the dynasty of David. Come on, you men of Israel. Let's go back to our home. And I'm tired of this. And he had audacity. Most of the men left after shaking David's hand. I don't want to spend too much time on him. He's not my problem child. Hallelujah. Because I look for the horn blowers to be in the church. Hallelujah. But the problem is that who we have placed as a leader in the ministry. The one is not there to do what I asked you to do. That slothful spirit that you have that's destroying the body of Christ. You are causing the enemy to gain trains and gain people and gain cars and automobiles and ram the body of Christ and destroy the body of Christ because you are being slothful not to do your job. Look, your neighbor and say, slothfulness is not going to occur here. Watch this, y'all. And I'm almost finished. The king told Amasa, the new commander of his army, to mobilize the army of Judah within 3 days and report back to me. And we're going to pick it up inside the scripture. And Amasa went to assemble Judah, but tarried long. Then it's a set time. He tarried longer than his set time. He tarried, he delayed, he hesitated longer than his. I'm at the understanding that we are missing out on our blessings from God because some of us are hesitating when God telling us to go. We sitting with God telling us to move. We're not in touch with what God telling us to do. There's a problem in the body of Christ because we're not moving quick enough for God. That we want God to delay the coming of him for us. But here I've come to the understanding after reading the scripture that what God is trying to get from the church to fall in his time that he's already set for us. Let me get to it. I'm almost finished. Because he tarried longer than the. He tarried longer than the appointed. He tarried longer than the time that he'd agreed to move. God is not a God that can lie. And if he said that he was going to bless you on July 1st at 10:30 a.m. at the City of Refuge, and you on July 1st at 10:30 a.m. is in Centerville, you will not be. Oh, let me help some of y'all out here. That's why some of y'all is still in your mess because your blessing done came and gone and you wasn't here when God had the word for you. Now you coming a month later and expect God to bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, you missed your appointment. I feel like preaching this thing in here. Yeah, and then you expected God to delay your appointment. But God said, I got others that need to be blessed that was on time for the interview. Look at your neighbor. Say the problem is not the city. Look at your neighbor and say the problem not even pastor. Look at the neighbor. Say the problem is you. You lazy. You trifling. And you ain't where God
has ordained for you to be. I'm at a place, I'm ready to shut this down, where I gotta be like Joab. It's time to get rid of those that I can't count on. Look at your neighbor. Say, I hope you one of the numbers. Because it's time to get rid of those that we can't count on. If you can't count on you to be at a certain place at a certain time, it's time for you to leave this place. I don't care if you were just elevated. It's time for you to go. Because all you're doing is allowing the enemy to come back, grab his forces, and come back to destroy me. If I can't count on you being here at a certain time, it's time for you to go. I'm by myself. That's okay. Look at your neighbor and say, you wasn't here last week. It may be time for you to go. If you wasn't here 2 weeks ago, maybe it's time for you to go. Because I'm tired of pulling your weight, looking over my shoulder, wondering when you coming. I need some true praise warriors. I need some true praisers. I need some folks that know about the goodness of Jesus, that want the substance of God, that has my back. I'm tired of the lip service. I'm tired of you saying, I got your back, Pastor. When I look for you, you're not there. You don't miss your appointment. Maybe it's time for you to go. Joab got sick and tired of looking over his shoulder, that he looked at the man when he came late, walked up to him and said, hey, Amish, are you sick? Why wasn't you here when the king ordered you to be here? Why wasn't you at prayer service when Pastor told you to be there? Why were you late to open up service? He had no answer. He took his knife. The only thing that you can do with disobedience, and stabbed it in his fifth rib. Look at your neighbor. It said he hit him at the place where help presides. Hey, you're not helping me what I need. So it's time for me to kill your help. If y'all understand, that's the rib where he came out of to help me. So I'm stabbing you in your rib as my helpmeet in this ministry. If you ain't gonna be there, bye. If you ain't gonna be there, see you later. You don't have to worry about it anymore. This ain't gonna be another message that I preach, because the Bible says Joab stabbed him one time and backed away and let him die. I'm not preaching no more message about you getting right with God. I'm cutting it off, and I must watch you die. Check this out. He lay there in the midst of the roadway, wallowing in his blood. All his men couldn't move forward until Joab covered him up and moved him out of the way. Do I have anybody in here that want to move somebody out of your way? They stopping your progress. You need to move. Look at your neighbor and say, you in my position. You doing my job. And you late doing it. So it's time for you to get out of my way. Some of y'all missed your number one job right there. Because you have somebody that's in your way. You got something that's in your way for doing your job. I don't want to hear about your bills anymore. I don't want to hear about your health anymore. I don't want to hear about that person anymore. It's your job to move them out of your... I know you're tired. I'm tired too. But it's my job to give God a praise. And I move my sleepiness up out of the way because I'm afraid that I may be like Amisha who died and waddled in his mess. It's time for me to do my job. I got an appointment, and my appointment say the job description calls for me to give him glory, to bless his name, to praise the Lord at all times. Look at your neighbor and say, that's another message. I'm not going to take a sick day today because somebody else may get my job. The reason why you are going through what you're going through, because the devil is blowing the horn, trying to distract you from doing your job. But his demise is at an end. Don't get caught up with what he's saying. Understand what God has promised you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm no longer a foot soldier. I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. It's my job to lead the praise. Judah, follow me. Judah, follow me. Praise, follow me. I'm not going to be the last one. I'm going to be the first one. Can I have the praise warriors blow your horn? He's a good God. Yes, he is. If you know that he's good, you better stand on your feet and with all of your beings, blow your horn of praise. Push your neighbor. Tell him, get out of my way. I got an appointment to praise him. 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 And all of you do is hindering my praise. God's been a good God. Look at your neighbor and say, David realized that it was just one of them and 10 that he was fighting against. He was outnumbered 10-1, but with Lord on my side. Long as I got God in my praise, I don't care how many times I done heard that I couldn't, God won't. As long as I got my praise, I got God. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And if God be for you, who can be against you? It's my appointment to praise him. And I'm not going to miss my appointment. I can't afford to. My bank account of praise is on empty. If I don't get this job, I'm going to die tomorrow. It ain't time to be cute. It ain't time to cry over spilt milk. It's only praising time. If you don't open your mouth in the midst of your adversity and give God a praise, praise him, Leah. You better get next to somebody that praising God. Whose side are you on? I may not have been here for 3 weeks, but I'm here today. And for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make it up with my praise. Praise him, girl. Praise him.
I gotta praise. Wow, I gotta praise. I gotta praise, and I gotta get it out. I gotta praise. I gotta praise, get it out. I gotta praise.
I gotta praise, and I gotta get it out. I gotta praise.
Tell him to get out of your way. Tell the devil, get out of your way. Tell your situation, get out of the way. Look at your neighbor and say, you got two choices. You can stay with the blood that's on the ground with a leader that's wallowing in it. You can stay with the dead things that's already dead, or you can get up and follow the true king. Today is your choice. Which one are you gonna choose?
I need everybody now to run to the altar, I ain't got time. If you know you've been following dead things, if you know that you've been following things that is no good, even though the blood was shed, it wasn't the real blood. It was a blood of rebellion. It was a blood of slothfulness. If you know that you've been slothful, you need to run. I did not say walk, because walking is a part of being slothful. You cannot hesitate on this altar call. Your blessing is in your obedience to run to the altar today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, give me some oil. I'm not going to be long. Pastor got to save some energy. But I just feel like praising him.